You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Get ready right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58.
You know, the game manager stuff, that's crazy.
Rich, it's a compliment. The people need to stop using it as a slur.
The Rich Eisen Show, covering the biggest game with the biggest guest, Pro Football Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion, Kurt Warner. Pro Football Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion, Charles Woodson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of day two of our residency in Las Vegas is on the air. And welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show live from Las Vegas at the TurboTax Studio. Like football, life is all about making moves. And when you file with TurboTax, you've got the tools, experts, and services needed to make your moves count. What a great second hour we just had with Deion Sanders getting up. And who sat down was none other than Michael Irvin and Emmett Smith together. And hour number three is off to a roaring start. Truly one of my favorite human beings on planet Earth. Super Bowl champion, Pro Football Hall of Famer. And courtesy of the big game sipping event that is tomorrow, Friday, here at Mandalay Bay, hosted by Sibley Scholes, none other than the great Charles Woodson. Woo! Good to see you, Charles.
Great to see you, Rich.
Well, you know, Charles, I don't know if you feel the same way as I do, but these days the air is cleaner, the sun is brighter, the sky is bluer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Food tastes better. How about you, Charles?
Everything has been enhanced this year with a little bit of amazing blue sprinkled on it. Everything has a little amazing blue aura about it.
I agree. It just life feels a little different.
Yeah, it just feels good. It just feels good.
That's like this is like our Trading Places moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Looking good, feeling good.
Yeah.
Man, what a year.
Right?
What a year.
And you were out there on the front lines.
Front lines.
And Desmond were out there on the front lines. Just
every day.
Hearing it. You know, every weekend.
Just taking strays from everybody. And it didn't matter. Because that's our school and that's what we do.
That's
what we do.
Well, we hadn't done it since you know, and this was unbelievable.
Incredible. We talked the other night.
Yeah.
And we just talked about all of the things that were thrown at this team, thrown at those young men all season. And every game, they just went out there and they just wore it. They wore it every game and went out there and produced. And they delivered the greatest season in Michigan football history this past year.
Now, you saying that is quite a statement.
100%. To go through it the way that they did, to lose your coach twice, you know, to have to go through the playoffs, to have to go through Alabama, you know, and then to play a Washington team that was hot in the finale and just get it done in the fashion in which they were able to go out there and beat our biggest rival to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
You know, and the biggest rival has spent nothing but their every waking hour.
Yeah. And a lot of money, too.
Apparently.
They're throwing around these days.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have done nothing but try and keep kids and load up and come on back. And my response every time is, well, listen, even if somehow, some way, the result doesn't go our way in the horseshoe next year, there's 12 playoff teams this time around. The elimination game between Michigan and Ohio State, at least we won the last one, and then I correct myself.
Exactly.
We won the last three.
You're right. Hey,
see?
Hey, Rich, old belly laugh.
Feeling good, Charles?
Oh, this is great. Oh, man, this is great. Wow.
We sound the same, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys are sick of it. They are so sick of it. They are so sick of it.
But it's okay. We're the champ, so it doesn't matter.
I'd like to see you happy, Rich. It's cool.
Rich.
I mean, I would love to argue, but when you're the champs, you're the champs.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't
say anything.
It doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter what they think.
It doesn't matter.
Just enjoy the show.
Yeah. Hey, I'm okay with Wood. I'm cool. I like seeing Rich happy because for years he came in after that Buckeye game and he was down. The show wasn't as good.
Right.
The show was not as good.
The sun wasn't as bright.
No. And then you start winning. I told him to start saying it with your chest, and he did. And now our show is Emmy nominated every year, and it's great. It's all because of Michigan.
It's all because of Michigan, man.
I agree.
And in good spirit for
what do
you
have?
Guys. Oh. Even though you guys.
Oh. Ooh. What do you have? All right.
Hey.
Oh. What's in whiskey hat?
I mean, I like the spirits, Wood. Oh, appreciate
it. Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
And I believe in the guest chair to your gravity. You take a seat so we can hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Do we need glasses? Like, what do we got?
It's all good.
On cloud nine from that championship. I'm sorry.
It's all good?
Yeah, man.
What do you have there?
Oh, man. Well, this is Woodson Whiskey. This is our commemorative bottle. So we have a partnership with the Raiders. So we're the official whiskey of the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is
that was announced this year, right? During the season.
Year, this year.
Right,
and
yeah.
Here's our newest project, a sparkling.
Oh, Intercept Sparkling.
Oh, Intercept Sparkling. How about that?
Hey, I told you again the other night when we saw each other, your Intercept wine is awesome, and the wine and the price point is outstanding.
Right.
It really it's an affordable wine that tastes like it's not affordable.
And you know what, Rich? That came from the people. Because I have been into, you know, in the wine game for a while.
Yep.
And I had a higher priced wine when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans and people that came up to me were like, "Hey man, we love what you're doing, love your product, but it's a little pricey. We would love for you to have something that's more affordable, but still having that quality that we appreciate." And that's where Intercept was born. So I have nothing. I have to give a big thanks to just fans of myself, fans of wine.
Yeah.
They were the catalyst for Intercept.
Well, it works great in your whiskey.
Yep.
It's got the Raiders logo on it,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Look at that.
1998 Defensive Rookie of the Year. Commemorative bottle.
Commitment to excellence.
You already know it.
Oh, yeah.
You already know it. That's how we do. That's how we do, Rich.
Defensive player
of the year.
We just make
plays, man. We just make plays.
I know.
That's it.
Will you tell the story I heard the other night about the night you won the Heisman and you weren't, I guess, ready to receive the award, correct?
No. I already knew who was winning the award. You know, and that's kind of the way I approached that weekend, you know, to go to New York and have a good time, hang out with Randy and Peyton and Ryan and all of those guys. But we knew Peyton was winning the award. And so I didn't have anything prepared by way of a speech at all. not even thinking about it.
Nothing.
And so when they called, you know, when they called my name, they opened that envelope. It was shock, for one, and I always tell people, I always remember, Randy was sitting over to my right, and he gave me a nudge, you know, with his elbow, like, "Man, get up." I'm like.
Because you were so shocked Randy Moss had to elbow you?
If you go back and watch the tape, you'll see him.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the little nudge. He's like, "Get up." I'm like, "Dang, this really happened." So when I got up there on the stage, man, I was just winging it. I don't even remember what I said. It was like an out of body experience. I have no clue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yep. I got to look at that footage.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Just to see the elbow, because you thought Peyton was going to take that thing.
100%. 100%. Like going into the season, it was. I think he had an opportunity to leave the year prior.
Right.
And he came back, and so
because he didn't want to go to the Jets.
Probably.
Probably.
I believe that's, you know, I don't think he would say that publicly, but
right.
Pretty much.
Yep. But the way it was portrayed was that he was coming back, you know, for his university to try to win a championship and to win the Heisman. And so it was basically his trophy to lose, so to speak. So.
And it was your championship to take.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Speaking keeping in the championship theme.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Speaking of which, we're sitting next to the actual Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah.
That's sitting right here.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
When you look at this, what do you think of?
You know, my career wouldn't have been complete without one. That's what I think about when I see that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to do, hard to get there. You know, it's, you know, we're not all fortunate enough like Mahomes and Brady to just kind of live in the Super Bowl. And so for the rest of us mere mortals,
yeah,
you know, you get very few opportunities to you know, hoist the Lombardi. And when I think about that, that's what completed my career, is being able to say that I'm a Super Bowl champion.
I mean, going to Green Bay to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
And your speech that you gave in the locker room after Barack Obama had said, you know, he's a Bears fan.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
We all knew. Everyone knew he's, you know, a senator from Illinois and Chicago. But you took that as an offense, right?
Yeah, I did a little bit because I voted for him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, don't exclude me just because your team's not good. Just because your team's not going to be there doesn't mean you can't come support me. I voted for you.
So what happened when you did finally visit his house? Was there an exchange between you and the president at the time?
Yeah. He got up and you know, he made a joke about, you know, not going at Charles Woodson or throwing Charles Woodson's way. You know, he found out, you know, don't go at Charles Woodson. So he made a nice little joke about it. So that was cool to be in that moment, man,
and to
be sitting there with the, you know, the leader of the free world and him singling you out because of something that you said at the finale of, you know, the championship game. So, yeah, man, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so might as well visit his house. But you're used to being on an island, though, Charles. You used to that.
Yeah, spent a lot of time out there on the island.
So what do you think of Super Bowl 58? What is your 2 cents on this game we're seeing Sunday?
You know, when I look at the two teams and when I look at Kansas City and what they've done this postseason, you know, having to go on the road like they haven't done, but the way they've won, they kind of won the way they've won all year, you know. Defense has kind of led the way for them. Mahomes makes his plays, him and Kelce, whenever they need it. So they've kind of won in the same fashion they've won all year. And I think with San Francisco, they've kind of sputtered along a little bit in the playoffs, having to have some late, you know, second half with the Lions, and then fourth quarter with the Packers, where Packers were in the driver's seat, you know, for that game. Lions were in the driver's seat. They had to come back and win. So San Francisco hasn't played a complete game yet. We haven't seen San Francisco at its best. And I feel like this Sunday is the time they're due to have their best game, a complete game. So I like San Francisco in this game.
Just because we haven't seen it, I guess, when would you say? I mean, because they lost on Christmas, then they went to Washington and did what they basically needed to do before pulling some guys. McCaffrey got dinged up in the game. Week 18, they didn't play.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out. It could be that Week 13 against Philadelphia. You know what I mean? That was that run where they were just crushing it. They came back from their bye. They snapped their 3-game losing streak. They went on a run.
Yep.
They smoked Seattle on Thanksgiving night. Then went to Philadelphia and just crushed them.
Yep.
That's, you think those Niners are going to show up Sunday?
I think it's those Niners. When they had the, I think the 3-game skid early in the season, they came out and they went to Jacksonville.
Yeah, they killed them.
And they spanked Jacksonville.
Coming off a bye, too.
Coming off a bye.
Right.
So this is 2 weeks in between their last game. They've looked at film of their last 2 games, you know, which they had to hang on and come back to win. This is the equivalent of them coming off that bye regular season. I think they'll be at full force. I think they get the W.
So how would you, if you had ever took on, I guess, who's the most Mahomes-like guy you ever had to defend against?
At quarterback?
Yeah. Who would that be?
Well, just in terms of,
I guess, in terms
movement, yes, and being able to, you know, scramble around and, mm-hmm, you know, manipulate the pocket. And, like, you feared him not just throwing but running was Michael Vick. Mm. Like, he was the guy that you were scared of, you know. And you're out there, as we talked about, on the island, and you're on your man, you know that the play is never over. And with Patrick Mahomes, the play is never over. Like, we don't talk a whole lot about Patrick Mahomes and him running the ball.
Uh-huh.
But there's no more effective quarterback at scrambling in the game. You take Lamar, you can take anybody else. Nobody's more effective at scrambling and picking up first downs than Patrick Mahomes. So he's the X factor. Even though he's the guy, he's still also the X factor because of what he can do with his legs as well.
And then the one that was just raising his game 10, 15, 20% because it's the playoffs, or because he's dynastic, would it be Brady? Would it be Tom?
Tom? I mean, Tom's just, he's over there somewhere. He's by himself. You know, what he was able to do for the amount of time he was able to do it, you know, for him to, you know, go to win 7 Super Bowls, I think he was in 10 or 11 total.
10.
Like, half his career, he's in the Super Bowl. Like, that's crazy.
Well, if Mahomes wins this,
right,
he's off to a start, right?
I mean.
But I keep saying then he's got to avoid. First of all, Tom went 10 years without winning one, but he still went back to them.
Yep.
And then he played till he's 45, and it wasn't just because he was hanging on.
No.
He had one of the best quarterbacking careers of any age quarterback from 40 on.
Yeah.
Mahomes is going to have to do that, too.
Yeah, Brady, you know I'm sure you've seen it. He's had 2 Hall of Fame careers,
right,
you know, wrapped up in one. When you talk about, you know, Brady, like I said, he's kind of off in a category by himself. But Mahomes is also carving his name in history as a guy who could possibly rival what Tom did.
And I haven't spoken to Tom yet about this, but I'm assuming the sun is brighter for him. The air is cleaner for him. The food tastes better for him.
For everybody.
The same way.
For everybody.
It does.
Even if you're not a fan of Michigan, the air is still cleaner. They're actually breathing the same air we are. So it's.
I know that.
It's a little cleaner for those guys, too.
I think. We are making the world a better place.
Thank you.
I forgot about that.
Thank you.
So before I let you go, your big game sipping event is tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Okay.
Mandalay Bay, Rhythm and Riffs.
Okay.
Yep.
BigGameSipping.com for that. And then CWInterceptWines.com for the new...
Sparkling.
Sparkling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honestly, every other offering that you have is outstanding.
Thank you.
And then WoodsonWhiskey.com, or you can find it in a store near you, just like Intercept Wines.
Yes, indeed.
Love you, Charles Woodson.
Man, always.
Good to see
always,
you.
Always, man. Great to see
Thank
you.
Thank you
as well.
For the hat as well.
Come on, man.
When we come back, Kurt Warner will join us here on the Rich Eisen Show. But before we bolt, I want to tell you about Game Time tickets. You still have time to get a ticket to the big game, and you can use Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for events near you, for exactly that. Because right now, all users get $100 off when they buy a big game ticket with code VEGAS100. You can see the view from your seat. You can also get the all-in pricing before you buy, so there's no shock at all when you find tickets on Game Time. It takes the guesswork straight out of buying tickets. Again, all Game Time users right now get $100 off a big game ticket with the code VEGAS100. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Just download the Game Time app. Use the code VEGAS100 for $100 off a big game ticket. Or if you're not going to the game, just use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. What's more likely, Super Bowl is going to be finishing up our program, but coming up next, look who's chilling out in our Roku channel green room couch. None other than Kurt Warner.
Another champion.
That's right. Another champion.
Wow.
That's right.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. joined by author Dave Meyer,
who wrote a book.
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You are one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Tillotesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, radio audience will return in 2 minutes' time because we're not going to spend enough time together on Sunday. We're going to spend about 20 minutes together right here on the Roku channel. My friend Kurt Warner back on the show. We're going to be spending an insane amount of time.
We are. Right? I have to leave early, though, so we're making up for it right now.
You guys, you know I like to humble brag. You know,
yes.
No. Hey. Really? Kurt does?
He never sees that. But, you know.
Rich Eisen has a show? I didn't know that.
I never knew that.
Ever.
But now I realize he does. It's a pretty good show,
back,
too.
Like,
it's a pretty good setup.
Welcome back. But Kurt, in the middle, just probably right around the 4 or 5 hour mark of game day morning on Super Sunday. He's got the ultimate humble brag saying, I'm sorry, I've got to call the Super Bowl.
Got to get ready for my broadcast.
On Westwood One. I'm sorry, I got to go. And so,
it's a good gig.
Yeah.
It's a good gig. You know? Yeah. I mean, I'll do 6.5 hours with you or whatever.
Just like the NFC Championship game, this Championship Sunday. Yeah. Got to leave. Hop on a flight to go up the coast to call the NFC Championship game.
Right. It's pretty cool.
Yes. On Westwood One.
I got the best gig. I get the studio stuff with my guys. I get to go and call the games with Kevin. Like, I got a good gig. I love it.
Yeah, and
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, Super Bowl 58 coming up, and then we'll talk about Bingo Blitz as well. I'm curious what that's all about.
All right.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. or just stop by. And also this friendly reminder that Super Bowl 58 on Westwood One is streaming for free, sponsored by AutoZone. On Super Bowl Sunday, hear every minute of Westwood One's broadcast live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone and calling that game on Westwood One and hanging with me and the rest of the gang on NFL Network for 8.5 hour long pregame show prior to Super Bowl 58 on NFL Network, courtesy of Bingo Blitz. Kurt Warner,
hey, what's
back on here on the Rich Eisen
Show. What's going on? You got your own show. You got your
I
own
do.
Radio network now. Like,
yeah.
What's next? Jeez.
World domination.
Okay, take it. Do
no,
it.
No, I mean,
do it.
We're here on the number one streaming portal known to man,
obviously.
Roku.
There you go.
By the way, you got some Roku. Have you seen our gift bag that's back there?
I've not seen our gift. No,
that'll be
gift
placed bag in your hands as you leave
All
here.
All right. Take it.
Some good,
awesome.
There's some quality Roku gear in there.
Okay.
So you could stream in the Warner household.
We'll do it.
You know?
We will do it.
When you look at this trophy, what do you think of, Kurt Warner?
I would think of what really comes to my mind the first time I see it is I want another shot at that. I want to play one more of these games and try to win it again. But obviously, you know, it goes back to just the moments I've had in the Super Bowl. That's one of the coolest things about this week is – I mean, obviously, all the memories aren't great, as you'll probably mention at some point. But
no.
But I played in 3 great Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowls that came down to the end. Either team could have won. And I appreciate those moments where you get the 2 best teams playing in the biggest game and playing the best game of the year. And that's really what that represents to me. I'm fortunate that I won one of those, but I played in 3 great Super Bowls that came down to the end. Either team could have won against some other great players, and that's the first thing I think of when I think about the Super Bowl.
Well, before Tom Brady got his hands on your records, had in your 3 Super Bowls the 3 most prolific passing games in the history of the Super Bowl, yeah. and obviously Brady had an overtime to help, you know, surpass yeah. one of your three.
He got 10 shots at it in an overtime.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
How many yachts
fair.
Can you water ski
right,
on?
It's not fair.
But so the question I want to ask you is one that I started the show with Joe Montana, sitting in the seat that you're currently occupying, Kurt, is just the ability that you see from Mahomes, and obviously Purdy is still cutting his teeth, the ability to just raise your game when yeah. the biggest game hits. And so yeah. can you – and again, Montana didn't have much of an answer because I'm talking about something that's esoteric.
Yeah,
you can't put
is.
Your finger on it. But what did you do that allowed you
right.
to have those moments that we see Mahomes is
yeah.
potentially has that as well?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, like you said, it's an internal thing. But the ability to kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, slow your pulse. Like when the biggest moments happen, some people feel that. Other guys embrace that. And that to me is, you know, when I was playing, that's what it was about. It was like you almost got even more focused. You got more locked in those moments because you felt, you understood it was bigger and that didn't overwhelm you in those moments. I think it is a lot about focused as well. I have an unbelievable ability to focus. My kids will tell me all the time, you know, when I'm sending a text message, they can say my name 400 times, and I will not hear them until I'm done, until the last word is send. And then it's like, oh, what, were you guys talking to me? You know, like, oh, really? Yeah. So they joke about it all the time. But I look back and go, like, that was my ability when I would get into those moments. Didn't hear anything, didn't feel anything. I was so engrossed in that moment, that play, that I was able to play my best in those moments. And that's kind of, to me, what it's all about. Some other people will just maybe hear their young daughter saying, dad, you know, like, and it starts to distract them a little bit. Those guys that have the ability to look through that and go, I am in this moment fully so I can play my best in the moment are the ones that are great.
So you're saying the ones that listen to their children have never won a Super Bowl is what you're saying?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. They get distracted at this point. They lose in the championship game. They can't yeah. put it all together. Yes, that's probably what I'm saying.
I understand. That's an
so
odd
when you
takeaway
see Brenda,
from what you just said.
When you see Brenda, you yes. tell her that.
Yeah.
The reason
Come on,
that he
Brenda.
Won Super Bowls and you're here is because he doesn't listen to your kids.
That's right,
doesn't
Brenda.
Hear your kids.
Come on.
Right.
Then I'll stop saying that because
yeah,
I don't want to get her
right
upset.
After that. Then walk away.
That's right up to the water's edge.
Right.
And then pull back. So I know we've spoken about it on NFL Network multiple times, and I'm sure you've chimed in on it multiple times elsewhere. But just for the moment, the Brock Purdy conversation. What do you right. see when you watch the game film on him
yeah.
that you saw in person in the second half of that NFC Championship game where he's able to flip a switch, yeah. for the lack of a better phrase? And
yeah.
what are you seeing in the struggles before?
Well, the biggest thing I'm going to say is that I think over the last year and a half, he's played the quarterback position as well as anybody. And it looks differently, but it doesn't mean it's less difficult than what some of the other guys do. And that's what I think part of the narrative has been, is that he plays more conventional football, meaning like guys like me, more things have to be right around him, or they have to play better in that pocket and on schedule than other guys have to. But he has done that really well. He's made a lot of tough throws that I don't think it's as easy as, oh, plug any of these good quarterbacks in and they make all those throws. I don't think that's the case. But it looks differently than this era of quarterbacks. You know, people ask me, hey, when you were going through it that first year, you didn't seem to, you know, have everybody pointing to all your weapons and the greatest show on turf and all those guys you had. And I think one of the reasons was because I looked like every other quarterback. Like in that day, it was day and age, it was drop back quarterbacks. You're throwing it from inside the pocket. And so I looked like everybody else in my era, and I was doing it really well. So I got credit for doing it really well. Now the era is more Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and these athletic quarterbacks are the things that get etched in our mind is, oh man, can he make a, no, you know, they'll look past. Can he run around and make five guys miss? No, but he's playing the position inside the pocket really, really well. But that's why I think he's getting scrutiny, because he doesn't look like this era of the prototypical quarterback where I did at the time. But playing great football, playing his biggest in the biggest moments, right? He hasn't played great in the playoffs. If I probably took every game that he's played since he took over as a starter, I would say probably his last two games are the worst two games that he's played.
No kidding.
Yeah, I would probably say that. You know, even though other people looked at some of the interceptions earlier in the year, some of the losses, I think he played really well in those games as well.
Including Christmas against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think that was more happenstance. I don't think he played terrible. I think it was Baltimore playing great and creating some things, but he still made a lot of plays in that game. I don't think he's played very well in these last two games. Yet, in those moments, the last drive, again, it wasn't like I'm a realistic guy. So that last drive against Green Bay, it was all checkdowns except one throw to Jennings. So it wasn't like I didn't leave that game impressed like some people did. I was impressed with what he did before that. Last week, more about his legs than him making the plays in the pocket. But regardless, you do what you have to do to win in those moments. Play your best in the biggest moments. He's done that, and that's why he's playing in the Super Bowl.
And then what about – I know you've made mention on game day morning, and then I – again – see what you do with QB Confidential and you tweeting about it as well. The scheme in San Francisco sets up the quarterback for difficult throws.
Yes.
That leads to
difficult throws.
And certainly in the middle of the field, which was always Jimmy G's
right.
issues.
Well, yeah.
So you're saying the scheme kind of
the leads them to, well, first of all, when a scheme leads you to the middle of the field, there's a lot more bodies in the middle of the field. So that's just kind of the nature. If you're going to throw a lot of your throws in the middle of the field, there are going to be more balls put in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the scheme is very much built on play action and running the football. And so play action, you draw the linebackers up. You attack the middle of the field, there's bigger windows. When you get into a drop back game and you don't have that pull on the linebackers and you don't have a scheme that, for instance, puts a guy underneath and a guy over the top of a linebacker and you get to read off of that linebacker. Does he go deep? Does he go short? When you don't have that sort of stuff, now sometimes you're asked as a quarterback to find that throw. Like, does it go in the first window? Does it go in the second window? Does he have to throw it over the linebacker? And Brock Purdy and really all the quarterbacks in that system are asked to do that a lot. And so that's when people watch it and they go, oh, that wasn't that tough of a throw. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, there's linebackers all over. There's a small little window. You got to anticipate. And so that's what I don't think a lot of people see, that it's not always conducive to making the game easy and making, you know, creating layups for your quarterback that are just easy throws. Everybody sees the throw to Debo that's at the line of scrimmage and he runs for 20. Yes, that's a layup. But their throws down the field, they don't have a bunch of layups because of their offense. And so he's asked to make some more difficult throws, and that's what I appreciate about how he's playing.
And then just to extrapolate it out one step further, is that the fact that there's a play-action necessity to have somebody bite on it to get the chunk plays to
yep.
open up, is that part of the reason why there's been no comebacks from 7 points down in the fourth quarter up until that Green Bay game?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it's first, they've had a really good team, so you don't play from behind very much.
Right.
Right? So that's kind of how I felt in my career. I don't remember how many comeback games I had, but I was like, we were ahead most of the time. So that's the first thing with San Francisco. They're ahead a lot. But yes, I believe their offense is built around the run game and the play action. So they're not as good. They're not as versatile in their drop back pass game as some other teams are, because they focus on what are we really good at. We're good on play action and running the ball, so we're going to focus on that, spend our time on that, and then the pass game will become more of a complementary piece to it. So now when we're stuck in a game where we've got to go to that complementary piece, the thing that we're not best at, you're not going to be as good in those situations as you are doing what you focus on. So, yeah, I think it's twofold in how it plays out. But, yeah, the bottom line is that's not their strength. I don't think they go to practice and go, hey, we're going to spend this whole period doing drop back passing, because Kyle's like, that's not how we're going to play. We're going to run the football and play action. We're going to beat people that way. And then if we have to throw it, we've got these pieces, but they're just not like vice versa to what we did in St. Louis. Like, we were throwing the ball. Like, running was a complementary piece. We were going to get really good at throwing it, so we were always built for that situation. But then we were up in a game, fourth quarter, and we got to be in the four-minute drill and hand the football off.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't our greatest strength, even though I did have teams that were good at that. But that wasn't our greatest strength. So we were at a disadvantage when we had to hold on to a lead as opposed to try to take back a lead.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is Bingo Blitz about?
All right, let's talk about it. You guys grow up playing bingo, anybody
yeah,
here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I did. When I was growing up, we would go to church every Wednesday, bingo night. Mom would buy my cards. I'd get to keep all the money that I won.
Oh,
bingo. I know. We didn't have a whole lot, so I got to keep it all. So you couldn't wait for, you know, stamping your spot. Bingo! So we're kind of celebrating that idea, that Super Bowl to me is about those bingo moments for players. Me throwing a touchdown pass to win a Super Bowl 34 was kind of my bingo moment. I gave James Harrison his bingo moment, you know, a few years later in the Super Bowl. But
you brought it up,
I know, by the way. I did. Okay. Before you could take me down that path, I thought I'd go there. But anyways, we're going to have some players that have their bingo moment. So we're kind of celebrating that idea. Okay, Bingo Blitz. Download the free app. You can get a free subscription, or I should say an account.
Yep.
There. Get a free account there. And then if one of these defenses set a Super Bowl record for 8 sacks in the Super Bowl, then we are going to give one of our account holders $1 million if that happens. So a little spirit of Vegas, taking some money home, right? Gambling a little bit, having a little bit of fun, and a little bit of risk involved with 8 sacks. That's
8?
It's a lot of sacks. Yeah. But a few years ago, we saw the Rams get 7 against Cincinnati.
It's like a bold prediction.
I mean, a little bit of a bold prediction.
A bold prediction.
A bold prediction with $1 million. I will take that bold prediction. Let's hope we hit on that one.
Well, this is not a record that Mooch can have somebody smash because you didn't play defense.
And it's not a record that I would want to have if I was playing in the Super Bowl.
Understood.
But since I'm not, hey, let's do it. Bingo Blitz, download the free app, join in, and maybe you win $1 million.
That would be a good bingo moment.
Exactly.
It's installing as
you're doing it right now. He's literally doing it.
I only won like $5, $10 when I had my bingo moments growing
That's
up.
Right.
So $1 million would be a lot better than that.
That is fun. I won't have you give your prediction here. So I'll just kind of run around that trap and ask you what you think it comes down to. What does Super Bowl 58 come down to?
You know, if I'm going to pick one area, I'm going to say that I believe it comes down to San Francisco's run game. That if Brock Purdy and San Francisco have to drop back and throw the ball against that Chiefs secondary, I think it'll be a long day. So key for me is if there's one area that's a little bit weaker with the Chiefs defense, it's stopping the run. That's where San Francisco is built. That, to me, is where this game is going to hinge. If they can't run the football, I think it's going to be tough. I guess the caveat is I don't think it's going to be a blowout, so I don't think the Chiefs are going to all of a sudden score 35 points in this game. So they could probably still keep it close and maybe win late. But that, to me, is the component that I think is most important.
Yeah, I mean, because everything that you said, how the play action pass and how it works for it to click, McCaffrey's got to
– Right.
I mean, Spagnuolo's got to – he knows that. You know what
I mean? Yeah, he knows that, but it's not always as easy as, you know, we know they're going to run the football, stop the run. But I think they would feel pretty good if it was like – ball's in Brock Purdy's hands with our secondary, and they've got to throw it every snap.
Yeah.
I think we feel pretty good there.
And, you know, I guess one way to do it is Jedi mind trick the opposition into only running the ball 6 times with running backs. Like, I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry, keep Baltimore fans, that I keep returning to that. But it's just the ultimate head scratcher is how did that happen in the AFC Championship
game? The only thing I say, even though they're a different team this year, we've kind of said it for a couple years, is that it almost seems like there's Patrick Mahomes rules. That when you're playing against Patrick Mahomes in those moments, you go a little bit a different way and a little bit against character because you're like, well, we can't just hand the football off. We'll never be – like, we need Lamar to outperform Patrick if we're going to win this game.
Right.
And you get into these modes of panicking and going away from what got you there because you know number 15 on the other side is so good and so special. You feel like you got to do something extra. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you know, I think back to – I called that game at Buffalo in New England. You remember that game? It was freezing cold and the wind was 800 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into that game and you said, well, this is going to be a running game. But I think Bill Belichick handed the football off like 3 or 4 times in the entire game.
Right.
He was patient enough to go, hey, I'm not going to throw it. I'm not going to make Mac Jones throw it. Josh Allen will throw it. They'll get impatient and try to throw it. New England won that game running the ball 4 times. Can you have that sort of patience if you're Kyle Shanahan to go, this is our game plan, this is what we do, we're going to keep handing it off. We're going to keep pounding and pounding and pounding as long as we're in the game. And like you said, Baltimore got impatient. Can you be patient if you get into one of those kind of games?
See you on the Zoom tomorrow for our pregame show meeting. And then I will see you on Sunday at the stadium. And then I can't wait to hear your call with Kevin Harlan in the booth on Westwood One. And everybody, go download the free Bingo Blitz app, create an account, and you could win $1 million if there's 8 sacks in the game.
There you go.
On Sunday.
8 sacks.
I could use $1 million.
Going for the defense.
Thanks.
Defense wins championships.
Thanks for coming, Kurt. Good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
You got it. It's Kurt Warner right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's more likely? Brockman's got them all teed up. That's how we roll out the door on a Thursday. Let you know what's more likely to happen in Super Bowl 58 or not.
What was it like picking this trophy up for the first time?
It was the greatest thing. And it really was, Rich. It really was.
Do you remember the circumstances?
Thing. Oh, my God, man. First of all, you got to go back and think about, like, we were 1-15. We were 3-13, 1-15. When you're 3-13 and 1-15 Cleveland Browns, I know you don't think there's any chance that you would ever lay a hold of something like this. So to go from those days to coming in 92 and winning that Super Bowl and actually somebody handing you that trophy, the most incredible thing, most incredible feeling in the world.
Did you ever step in when you heard that Jimmy and Jerry were not doing well, or your station wasn't that in life at that point in time?
I just didn't think anything would happen, Rich. I really didn't. I was like, are you joking? You know how hard it is to win Super Bowls, and you have a formula that's working. And Jerry Jones, I'm telling you, that's the one thing. I'll never forget Jerry Jones telling me that when I was negotiating with him. And I was saying, you know, I'll go to Cincinnati. And it was just, I'm just talking, trying to get my monies up. I said, I'll go to Cincinnati. You can get Carl Pickens over here, and let's see what happens. And Jerry said, Michael, you know, when I see you, I see Michael Irvin and the Dallas Cowboys. He said, I kind of see it like Magic Johnson in the Lakers. He said, what is Magic without the Lakers? And what are the Lakers without the Magic? He said, you guys, they belong together, just like you and the Cowboys. He said, Michael, the best way I can tell you, if a bomb hit Valley Ranch today, that's where we practice, and blew everything up, everybody, everything, when the smoke clears, baby, me and you, we going to still be here. So we might as well work this deal out right now. So,
that's what he said to you?
I promise you. I said, this dude is a fool. This dude is a fool. He had me laughing as he was telling me no about my money.
That's why you're in the Hall of Fame together. Oh, all of Irv's appearances on your YouTube page are awesome. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What a fun day, huh? Oof, one guest at Guestapalooza. But we finish up. We normally do this on a Friday, but we have so many guests.
I know, we don't
tomorrow.
Have time tomorrow.
We're going to use this piece of real estate now to give it the time that it's worth, since it's, you know, about the big game. What's more likely, big game style, presented by Subway.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris, like Kurt Warner texting, you have my undivided attention.
All right, guys, ready? Everybody good? How
yes.
you guys doing?
Yeah.
You guys good?
What up? We're good.
Great.
We're good.
In Vegas?
Can me? The Cowboys were here today. Awesome.
All right, guys, what's more likely to be the higher total? The anthem time in seconds.
Oh, this is prop bet. What are you doing to me?
Or the longest scoring drive on Sunday.
All right. So the longest scoring drive could be like an eight.
So if you want a point of reference, Rich, the over-under for the national anthem is 90 and a half seconds by Reba McEntire.
Right.
90 and a half.
So what's going to be shorter?
Longer. Higher. So do we get a 91-yard scoring drive?
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll go national anthem.
Reba,
I'll go Reba over the offenses being able to sustain.
Yes. No one's going the whole field.
I'll say Reba sustains more than the offenses.
I like it. Okay. All right. Who's more likely to retire if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
Kelce or Andy Reid?
Andy Reid or Travis Kelce.
Oh. This is so stupid. I'll take the guy who's more up in years. Okay? Why do people think Travis Kelce's going to retire?
So he can go into the Hall of Fame with his brother.
Yeah. Good one.
And he can live the rest of his life with Taylor Swift and have it. Already accomplished everything on the football field.
No, he hasn't.
Three rings, Hall of Fame.
Has anybody ever won three Super Bowls in a row? You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. I don't know. I honestly haven't spoken to Kelce. The last time I spoke to Kelce was when I saw him in Germany and I hugged him and I called him Mr. Perfectly Pfizer. He laughed. Honestly, I'll take the guy who's up in years as opposed to Travis Kelce retire. I don't know why people think he's thinking of retiring.
Rich, if Dion wouldn't have held Irv on that play, then the Cowboys would have won 3.
That's not
here, there, there.
That's so disrespectful to Stan Humphries and Bobby Ross and the San Diego Charger organization.
No disrespect, man.
No. You needed to say that first to avoid being disrespectful.
Oh, my bad.
You cannot ad hoc that we all do respect. I'll go Andy Reid. What else?
All right, next one. First off, before I get to it, shout out Blake at the MGM Poker Room. Yeah.
Balake?
Saw him last night. Big fan. Took a selfie. Yeah.
Okay.
He watches Overreaction Balake. Monday with his girl. It's amazing. He was incredible. He helped me with this one, so I wanted to give him a shout out.
Okay.
True story.
If the 49ers lose the Super Bowl, who's more likely to take more heat from the media on Monday? Brock Purdy or Kyle Shanahan?
Well, I mean, how do they lose? How do they lose?
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, like, if they lose the way, if they, I don't know, if they lose because the Chiefs score last, you know, that they don't have the fourth quarter bugaboos and Brock Purdy did what he did.
Oh, then it's,
you know,
game management, Kyle Shanahan.
Then I'll take Kyle Shanahan then, you know.
Pick six at the end of the game, obviously.
No wonder you and Balake got along very well.
This is, man, it was this great.
If this is a Kyle Shanahan shaming, you and him are like, he had you at hello.
They did. It was great. He had you at hello.
By the way, a nice young lady approached me prior to the U2 in the Sphere, says that she watches us before breakfast, I think she said, every day on the Roku channel.
All right.
Said I was right about the backpacking. So we all had our run-ins last night with our fan base.
Didn't Dion put that to bed and explain to you things that you might not have been able to understand?
What you're talking about.
All right, here we go, guys. More likely to be the higher total, Debo Samuel rushing yards or Chiefs total points scored?
Oh, I'll go Debo rushing yards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll go Debo rushing yards. Because you just heard Kurt say he doesn't think the Chiefs are going to score in the 30s.
Right.
I think Debo will have two or three runs at least. I think Debo's going to have a run in the first 15 scripted. For sure.
All right.
I'll take Debo runs right there.
Okay. All right, more likely to be the higher total. Christian McCaffrey touchdowns or Patrick Mahomes interceptions.
I'll go McCaffrey touchdowns. Why do you think Mahomes is getting picked off in this game?
Because he's been picked off twice in two of his three
Super Bowls. I understand that. I know. So has he been picked off twice in, I guess, he was picked off twice in the first game between these two and then the next game against the Bucks.
Yep.
He wasn't Nothing picked off year. Twice last year.
Nothing last year.
All right, so I think he's turned a page. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with Irv. Christian McCaffrey, MVP if the 49ers win. All right, what's more likely, guys? Two more. A special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown on Sunday?
Good one.
I'll go defensive touchdown. Do special teams touchdowns happen very much? When a special teams touchdown happens, it's like a unicorn.
Yeah.
Honestly, like we saw one in Baltimore in the divisional round game between the Texans and the Ravens, right?
Yep.
It just seems to be so
rare. I don't know,
rare.
What if Jim Nance is on the edge of his seat on the opening kickoff?
How funny was that when he was on Tuesday's show saying, you know, he wants the streak to stay alive. Anytime that there's a touchback, that means the last opening kickoff for a touchdown was his first ever Super Bowl call. Devin Hester taking one to the house against the Colts in the Super Bowl in South Florida 17 years ago. And then I'm like, so we want a touchback to start the game this week to keep that alive. He goes, no, I'm at the mic. I'll do it again. I'll take the touchdown. I love that.
And we might hear Devin Hester's name called tonight.
That's true indeed.
14 special teams.
It's so rare. I'll go defensive
score. All right, last one. Who's more likely to finish with more career Super Bowl wins? Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes combined, or Tom Brady?
I'll go Brady.
Oh.
I'll go Brady. Seven, brother. It's still a large number.
So many.
It's still a large number. Even if Mahomes gets three on Sunday. He's got
he's not
four
even halfway
more to
left.
Go to tie.
Yeah, to
a whole Joe
tie.
Montana left to
yeah,
tie.
To tie. For the
That's
tie.
A large whopping yeah. number is seven from Tom Brady. So, yeah, I'll go with that.
There you go. What's more likely? Enjoy the game, everyone.
I mean, Brady's career is so remarkable. Like, he will loom over every
it's
Super
nuts.
Bowl.
Ever.
Yeah. Honestly, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly the ones in which Mahomes is in if he needs to win to catch up or keep speed or what have you. But that was What's More Likely, presented by Subway. Every epic footlong deserves the perfect sidekick. Drop everything and try a delicious new footlong, cookie, pretzel, or churro at Subway today. What a show, man.
I mean.
Joe Montana, Max Crosby.
Yep.
And then Dion watching Emmett and Irv sit on our Roku channel purple room couch.
That was cool. Yeah, that was.
And then they take the seats and stuck an extra segment. Then Charles Woodson comes here and we talk about just how life is great and amazing and better
maze.
Than ever.
I like how you said maze there, Rich.
Oh, yeah, amazing. The maze, sun, and blue sky.
Amazing.
You know? And then Kurt Warner. Tomorrow's program, Sean Payton will be first up, the Super Bowl winning head coach of the Saints back in the day, now with the Denver Broncos. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
I think he's performing at the Wynn tomorrow night. Before he does that, he will show up here. Hour number two, Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman together. They get up. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, I believe, leave the Aria blackjack table long enough to join us here.
What was that?
I've seen the bussing videos.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
And Kenny Chesney will wrap up hour two. Greg Olson and Chris Berman will be our final guests of our week. And thanks again to Mickey Ewell and the rest of the NFL for letting us have Vince for a day. Oh. And I believe they're taking it from us tomorrow, not because, you know, they have other plans for it. But Gronk is here, and they don't want Gronk up within 10 feet of that.
Fool us once.
So that will be awesome. Thanks for joining us here on this busy Thursday show. We'll be back on the air live from Las Vegas at the TurboTax Studios on Friday.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And she'd be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.